Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
And action.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Mark and Heidi of the D'Amelios. I'm Mark.
And I'm Heidi.
Wait, just had me thinking about something. I'm going to go totally off script right now.
Okay.
So when I was growing up, my friends used to say my last name as D'Amelio. D'Amelio. And when we were at, we'll talk about a bunch of things that we did these last 2 weeks. One was going to the ESPYs, but now, no doing of our own. We've never told anybody how to pronounce our last name, which was originally my last name.
I don't know how to pronounce our last name.
It's M-E-L, so it's Mel. So I've always said, and after I started to come home and say, hey, Dad, everyone says D'Amelio, he said, no, our name is D'Amelio. So for everyone out there, shout out to my dad who told me how to say my last name. So it's D'Amelio.
So I've learned something today, how to say our last name.
Yeah. Well, it's not D'Amelio.
Well, I don't even know. Do I say it? How do I say it?
And it's really hard to pronounce it.
I say D'Amelio.
With the Italian. D'Amelio.
Okay.
Say it like that for me.
I don't know if I can pull that off.
Welcome to Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios. So last conversation we had, we talked about our relationship. We had a lot of really positive feedback about that. Did you get the same?
I got a lot of messages.
Do you think we hyped it up for the audience, or do you think our relationship and our story
good? Was so real, and I don't know what happened. I don't know. It just, like, I feel like it's not, I don't know, you go through your days and you don't think about, oh, whenever I met Mark, like, what was I feeling? And it was just the whole conversation, and you're literally sitting right in front of me, and it just, like, all the years of being together and kids and life, and it brought me back to before all of that, and I got super emotional.
Tears of joy, would you say?
Huh? Yes.
Really?
Yes. Wait, are you questioning me?
So do you think you cry easily?
Okay, so I never used to cry, ever, until I met you, and you would cry at everything. Tissue commercials, puppies.
Yeah, I've never cared. I'm very...
Commercials during, like, you know, those emotional commercials during the Super Bowl or the Olympics. And
I'm sensitive, compassionate.
I'm like, oh,
all the
all
good stuff. It's all positive.
Seen someone cry so much. Like, get a hold of yourself. And then I think it's actually after I had kids, and then, like, I don't know, you have your heart walking around outside of you and your children, and things get more emotional that way. And that just stuck. And now, yeah, I am easily emotional about random things.
What would you... Do you think I can get you to be emotional on this podcast with the topics we have to talk about?
I don't, you know what? Honestly, feel like I have some tears, like, welling up. Not welling up, but, like, they're on the cusp.
Challenge accepted. Here we go.
All right, let's bring it, because I'm not going to cry before that.
Okay, so I do want to say something.
With
what's happened to our kids,
what's happened to them?
Just the notoriety, the success, things that have happened. one of the cool things that has happened to us is we've kind of been able to come along for the ride and been able to do really cool stuff. And for people who don't know, a lot of people know this story, but I met Heidi in New York City, and she was a model in Louisiana and came up to New York to model. And she did a bunch of things when we were together. And then we moved to Connecticut. We had kids, and that we never really did much of that. And I think in your head, you always thought that you've said this, you may model later on in life. So there have been incredible things happening with my wife, Heidi, who is right across from me, and she's been killing it on social media. We just got a note from UTA that she's one of the top creators, social media creators for our agency, UTA. And then she ended up landing a deal with a really cool company that she actually loved, shopped at. We would go there in Connecticut, and it is called Ever Eve. And I just want to say, and I'm not trying to make you cry here, but I could not be more proud of you and your success and how you've handled this opportunity you've had. And it's just to see you living out your dreams and doing things is just incredible. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, Mark, for those kind words.
Is that a tear?
No.
Let me go on.
Stop. No, it was really fun. It was the first time I had we've done stuff as a family, or you and I together, but the first time I've done a photo shoot on my own since the year 2000. 21 years? Is that right? Yeah. Wow. So that was... it was fun, and the company is great to work with. Ever Eve was awesome, and we did a whole photo shoot. So I had glam, and they rented this cool house that had. If you go to Ever Eve's website, you could see some of the photos on there. But this house that we rented is called the Flamingo House. It was so cool, and it was decorated really cool. So it was a lot of fun, and I will say I felt almost guilty taking that time for myself, because I haven't really done that like that. And like, are the girls okay? What's Mark doing? Like, is everybody? I need to realize, like, you guys are fine without me, and I got this. But after not doing it for, you know, stuff solely for yourself for a long time, I think other like moms can agree, or even dads maybe, like it's a weird feeling to have the day be about you. Glam was about me, the photographer, the everything. And it's weird because I'm much better, I feel like, as a supporting role, you know, for you guys. But it was fun, and I was super happy with how all the pictures came out and everything. So shout out to Ever Eve. Thanks for having me.
It was really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, you came to visit on set, so that was fun.
And that house was awesome, and the pictures that you got about was really cool.
Thanks.
Let's talk about another, wasn't really a success, but let's get your perspective. Let's skip over to Celebrity Family Feud. So, look, I know as it relates to a lot of things in this family, I am the weak link, okay? I'm holding on.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that.
I'm holding on by a thread. I'm barely, like, they always put me on the outside of the picture so they can just crop me out, and we get Dixie, Charlie, Heidi, which is fine. I get it. The brands are not looking for me, and that's cool. I am the ultimate head coach, supporting cast mate, bench player, it's all good. But I grew up watching Family Feud. I am a Family Feud expert. And the fact that no one in this family took this seriously.
Hold on a minute. There are lies being told in this room right now. I was the one gathering everyone to play the board game to prep.
Mm.
Did I not? Guys, come on, let's sit. And you're like, I know how to do this. I don't need. I think it would have been helpful. I wanted to practice because I honestly knew I was the weak link. I'm not weak link. I am not a quick thinker. Like, I need time. And that is not what they offer when you're up there and your hands on the podium and they ask a question about Santa Claus and your mind goes blank.
You know you have to lift your hand off the podium and press the button. And but if you...
Okay. You know what? What am I going to do? Press the button and then not have an answer? Isn't that worse?
Did you, what, who was
literally no thoughts came to my mind.
Cindy Brady on the Brady Bunch?
Yes. That, no, it wasn't about that. I've had that moment, but that wasn't it.
All right. So let's backtrack a little bit because
first of all, I said I wanted to be in the last place. So hopefully they don't get to me. I was very upfront. This is not good for me. I am not going to be an asset to this team. And I was in fourth place, which meant I went up to the podium and I failed miserably because I had no thoughts in my head when I was up there.
All right, so let's flip this. Let's turn your frown upside down.
I'm not frowning.
Maybe you will be crying at some point, but just not of joy, of mad at me. Again, I grew up, Price is Right, Family Feud, all the different game shows. Love them, watch them. When you wouldn't go to school, you'd get to see the Price is Right. I think on the East Coast was 10 o'clock. So going to Family Feud was super cool. I remember Richard Dawson growing up. But to go and see how it works, the backstage, walking up through... walking, like seeing what you see on camera is part of it, but what you see behind the scenes is really cool. And getting up there, and it is nerve-wracking. And JoJo's family had a ton of energy. They were so nice, so cool, but they were out there to win it. And we went into the final round with a chance to win. And
okay. That question,
I know.
The question was this. Five people surveyed, top six people surveyed.
Nope. Top 100 people surveyed, top five answers on
the board.
Here's the question.
Santa comes home from delivering all the presents. He gets home and what was it?
His blank is missing. So you had to think about it and you had to say, it can't be something that he brought with him, right? Because so the reindeer were with him, the sleigh was with him, all that. Present. So Mrs. Claus was missing. And then was that
were
one
the
of them?
Elves?
I don't. But then.
The final answer that no one could get.
Was his comfy chair.
You know, I was a little annoyed by that, but I will say, think about any like. Cartoon or book with Santa, like he's always sitting in his chair.
Right.
So I just like, I obviously after the fact, I can, in the moment, no, couldn't do it. But wait, I want to talk about
but
this.
Let's not take anything away from JoJo and their,
oh my
and
gosh.
Their family.
No, they were did great.
So nice, so cool.
They were awesome. And yeah, it was like really fun because that was the first time all of their family got to meet. And that was so cool. I think the kids have met before, but it was neat. Like, it's exciting. She's bigger than life and so much energy and so fun and sweet and like really kind people. So that was awesome. But this, I also want to say, when we got there and we checked in and did all that, the first part of it where it made me feel like, oh, I can't believe we're actually here is the name tags.
Yes.
Those iconic name tags. And it had my name on it. Like, that is crazy. So that was super exciting. And then when we went inside, we've been on sets before that you watch this stuff on TV and then it seems so massive. And then you get there and it's like a small studio, but the way the cameras are angled and everything, it looks big. This was huge.
Yes.
This was as big as it looks on TV. That board is gigantic. And that was so much fun. It was everything like you would imagine. But, and remember, so you know how when the game starts and each team is off to the side in a pose and we're like, but it kind of was going really fast. Like, what pose? What do we do? What do we do? So we kind of just stood there. Like, they had great poses. The Siwa family, they had great poses. And we were just like, oh. But it was, they, and the their crew was so nice. And
Steve Harvey
was funny, as you would imagine. And so cute with the kids.
So welcoming. Like he made you feel like we were friends forever. He was very good at bringing, like, he came up and looked at me and looked at the girls. And he's like, so, Mark, two daughters, huh? And we both looked at each other because I know,
I know he has one. I think he has more than one daughter. But I think, yeah, so it was just really, what a great experience. You grow up watching game shows. I've always wanted to be on a game show. So if you have a family, apply, because you never know and you could get on it. And it is like,
it was fun,
a bucket list thing for sure. And we were playing for Stand Up to Cancer, and even though we didn't win, we still donated, so that was cool for that. And it was just super cool.
That was great,
even though I was the weak link and the ultimate.
Do you think we'll get invited back? Would we ever do it again?
I think we can get me a replacement. Not because I don't want to do it. I just know my limits. You know, there's a lot of things I'm good at. Quick thinking is not it.
Yeah.
If you could have, like, if I could have gotten back to them on my answer.
Yeah.
Later.
Or if you could have Googled it.
That would have been nice.
Yeah. I think that's frowned upon.
That's frowned upon.
So we just got back from, so that happened a while ago, but we just aired the Family Feud episode, but we just got back yesterday from our trip to the East Coast, New York. We actually went up to Connecticut and saw some friends.
So I, as you know, Mark, born and raised in Louisiana and lived there till I was 25, then moved to New York City. So there is a Yankees player that's from my hometown in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Ron Guidry,
Louisiana Lightning. And so we were actually Yankees fans. My dad is a huge Yankees fan. And I think it became even more so when I moved there. I mean, he was a fan before that. But
When we first met, we're dating a few months, maybe a little longer. And your mom and dad came up to New York. And I was doing business with a company that Andy Pettit owned, and I believe it was Mickey Mantle Day or something like that.
I think you're
and right. We brought him, your dad, to his first ever Yankees game
in Yankee Stadium.
We have pictures of that, and we had Andy Pettit's tickets through his company he owned. I don't personally know Andy Pettit, but. And it was amazing. And we still post those pictures all the time.
Yeah, so. He was so excited. And then you've taken him to many Yankees games, or, you know, even after that. So I think you guys went to Joe DiMaggio Day.
It was Joe DiMaggio Day. Two? Was the first one. And then we went to a World Series game together. Yep. I took him to a World Series game at Yankee Stadium.
Didn't you guys see the Red Sox? Which was a crazy game. My mom and I watched it. Because the girls were little, but we watched it from the house while you guys were there. And so fast forward to the last, so my dad passed, but the last time you took him, my sister Cindy, my brother-in-law, who else was there? Was Spencer Lucas there? Lucas. And into the new Yankee Stadium. And it got rained out.
And it was a celebration for Derek Jeter, his last season playing before he retired. Mm-hmm. And I got great seats, great tickets, and we're ready to go. And it got rained out.
But you went to the stadium.
We went to the stadium. And then this game, same thing happened. So, and a lot of people, again, don't get to know our whole story from social media and 15-second videos, but there are videos of I grew up, coincidentally, one of the first Yankees games I saw live. I saw Ron Guidry pitch in the 70s, and I've been a diehard fan. I actually did – I modeled for the Yankees catalog in, I think, 94. And so we have a strong tradition with the Yankee Stadium and the Yankees, and there's videos of both Dixie and Charlie at their first Yankees game. And I said – Charlie, what do you think of your first baseball game? She's like, no, it isn't. And I said, this is your first Yankee game? She goes, yes.
Because so she had went to see her cousin's play or whatever.
Right, so it wasn't her first baseball game.
And she was so little. She didn't have teeth.
And she corrected me at that point. But so people don't realize, we grew up Yankees fans. Our house was probably 40 miles from Yankee Stadium. And I do business with the Yankees. So we've been in and out of the stadium for a while. That was our first. We got into New York July 1st.
And the game was the second.
And then,
so to finish up that is we go. I wore the jacket my dad wore to that game that got rained out. I have it, and I wore it to that game, and it got rained out. So I'm. It was cool because it was like, wow, that same thing happened. But I'm wondering if the jacket is bad luck.
Yeah. It was cool. They gave us all jerseys. So we did the same thing we did for the Sixers, where we did Heidi's first name, Dixie, Charlie, and then I did D'Amelio on the back of mine. So it was really cool to have a Yankees, even though the Yankees don't put their names on the back of their jerseys, it's cool to have your name on the back.
Yeah, and the Yankees were so gracious and hosted us and were... All the kids had fun, and even though it was raining, we sat in the rain for a little while just because it was like it was still like an energy there, you know. It was cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a pause. Heidi's been hydrating, and
I have to pee.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Mark Show, the original D'Amelio. Doing a solo bit here, guys. A little bathroom break. And just talk about everything me for about 2 to 3 minutes. So, I spilled coffee on my pant leg today, so things aren't going so well. But happy to be here. I wonder if I could, what would I talk about? How could I carry a show for 30 minutes? What would I say? I would just talk about my family. All the things I wouldn't say to their face, I'll say to you people. You know what's the worst thing about Heidi? Guys, let me tell you some stuff about Dixie and Charlie that no one knows. Ooh, dear, I think I could do really well with this. And she's back. Pause for the cause. Heidi's back in her seat. You've never done that before. During this long 20 minutes we've been on.
Hey, you know, I drink a lot of water.
And you want to say action again?
And action.
So we went to the Hamptons. I've become good friends with Michael Rubin, who we met at the All-Star game a couple of years ago. We're both in the sports license business. I knew of him. I don't think he knew who I was, but we have a bunch of mutual friends, and he and I have become really good friends. And he invited us out to this party, which got a lot of media attention. It was a total class operation. Everything was awesome. His house is beautiful. He's such a nice guy, such a generous guy. Mm-hmm. The people that were there, I mean, I'll just talk about people who I know have already seen publicly. Meek Mill was there. Robert Kraft was there. Jon Bon Jovi was there. Jay-Z was there. And then the D'Amelios, who don't really know that we fit into that category of people, but we were there and we had a lot of fun. And it was a total, just a chill house party that was just it was definitely the best party I've ever been to. And Michael Rubin is such an amazing, generous, cool guy. And the things he's done for criminal justice reform, and his assistance with Meek Mill is just unbelievable. But we had a blast, and shout out to Michael. What did you think about it?
It was so much fun, and I think it's cool because, like, obviously you have a relationship with Michael, but also his daughter and our daughters are friends, which I think when you have your kids are friends and then the parents, like, it's just a natural friendship there. It makes it even that much more fun. And so we always enjoy hanging out with him and them, and because there's so many things that work for it, you know, it's like, it's really fun. But the party was amazing, and everybody was just so nice, and I don't know. I think people, it's a house party, but when you're in a house like that, this house is amazing and gigantic and beautiful and
overlooking the ocean.
It was just like, it doesn't look like a house party because most houses I've been to don't look like that. So it was just really fun, and we're so appreciative that we were invited, and it was really, really cool.
I think the way it works for us is, and I've said this before, the fact that we all do it together, there's that always that common denominator of us being together. So before all this happened, we were together, and it's still happening. So it's almost like we're characters in this play, movie, show where, but we know it's real. And I, being the age that I am, I've kind of learned that people are people, and people have insecurities. And although they're super famous, they're still people. And I would never consider myself anything but a dad, a husband, a human being struggling through the same thing everyone else is struggling with. And we've realized that, like, we've met Tom Brady and understand that as much as Tom Brady is the GOAT, his kids look at him as he's a dad, just like I'm a dad. And he probably embarrasses his kids the way I embarrass my kids. So we're all human beings. We all put our pants on one leg at a time. And that's kind of how I deal with it. How about you?
It is when you're at these places like the ESPYs or things like that, those feelings do come up where you're like, how are we? Like, how, I don't know, especially around athletes, like, I feel, is like such a fan while I'm there. But when you get the response back, it's like, okay, maybe it's not so crazy that we're here and we are doing our thing. Obviously, we're not athletes, but we are doing our thing that puts us in these situations to be, you know, at something like the ESPYs. But I don't know. I think it's just, I think now that life is opening and we're going to places and the reaction that we're getting, I think when we were, like everyone was home in quarantine, it was harder to realize that this is real. Like, there are people that like what we're doing and follow along on the journey. And I think, but it was hard to wrap your head around it. Now that we're in public and people are coming up and, you know, there's people that are crying and, like, you know, you've got me through hard times to Dixie or Charlie, or I can relate to you, or, you know, I have anxiety too, or whatever it is that people connect with, the girls or you or me. I mean, I get a lot of moms that message me, and, you know, this being a parent is hard, and I am still that. And that's always going to be first and foremost, is parenting our daughter. So I don't know. I think seeing people and having that real life in-person conversation that they've connected with what we're doing makes it feel like, okay, then this is real and this is what's happening, and embrace it in the best way. And, like, how can I be the best me I can be so that I can even connect with more people and meet more people and hear their stories? So,
yeah, I think it's a balance. There's definitely, and I think the people that I'm in awe of sometimes are totally different than the people that Dixie and Charlie are in awe of. And probably there's people that you see that you're like, oh my God, that person is someone that I either look up to or inspired me. And it's a balance. And we definitely know we're very lucky to be put in the situations we're in. And I'm very appreciative of all these incredible people we've been able to meet. And yeah, I guess sometimes I do pinch myself when we're sitting across from people and having a conversation with someone. So it's just a balance.
And also I feel like for me, when we're out and about, just even when we're in New York and we're walking around, like how much I want to like share that with even more people, more like people that I know that are great at what they do as creators or are in that space of the digital space or whatever, and bring them along for the ride with us and show people, but look at them. I want to do more of that. And I think as time goes on, we will be able to do more of that. So that's like exciting to me.
I agree. So we're on the roof and the fireworks went off and it was just like one of those times that you just have to pinch yourself and say, wow, this was so cool that, It was a really cool party, and I was so appreciative of him, and it was so good to be back in the East Coast. You know what I do want to talk about is I was concerned for New York getting back into the groove after COVID, and New York was buzzing. New York City.
Yeah, that energy is back, and it was really cool to be there.
It was really, it was a lot of fun, and it's definitely, people often ask me, you know, do you like California? Do you miss the East Coast? Do you miss New York? And I haven't been able to give a good answer yet because we've been inside a lot for this last year when we were in COVID, things weren't open. We haven't really got to experience California the way it probably was 2 or 3 years ago. And I don't think we've been away from New York long enough or away from Connecticut long enough to really miss it. And I've been back probably 3 or 4 times since we've been out in California. So what are your thoughts on California, not versus New York, just in comparison to New York?
I mean, I still really don't have a good answer for that because we haven't really experienced California. I mean, there's so much here we haven't done that I want to do a little bit more. It's just different. It's just, I've lived in Louisiana my whole life and then I've lived in New York / Connecticut and I can tell you those differences because it's been time. You know, I need more time. I love the weather here in California. I won't like battle anybody on that, but it's just, I need time. Like
you bring up an excellent point because I'm always trying to say like, which one is what, like, which one am I going to like the most or which one am I? And now that you just got me thinking the same way when you just said Louisiana, like I love Louisiana. I don't necessarily want to live there, but when we go down there, I feel at home down there. And so I could love Louisiana, I could love the Bahamas, I could love Connecticut, I could love New York, and I could love California. I could love them all at the same time.
And they all offer such different things.
Without having to pick one.
Yeah, you are big on that. Like, yeah, which one do you like better? I'm like, why can't I like them both? I don't know.
Yeah.
Which
one do you like the most?
I like them all. We just covered that. But what is that? What is that whole thing you do? What is it?
I don't know.
I think you need to sit with yourself on that one. Get back to me next week.
So we went to Connecticut.
So fun. You know what was funny about that? We went to a bowling alley and a bunch of our friends came. And the next day, all texting. That was so fun. Is the separate people texting separately talked about the energy. Like, I just thought that was interesting. Like, I think in general, like if you don't see someone for a while and then you see them, like, and there's a whole, And there's four of us and then the friends. So there's like a lot of people. And then there's all these connections. And so I guess it does bring energy to a room, but it was fun. But and then the music and the bowling and the competition of the bowling. And
we didn't have a ton of time. So we wanted to do a couple of things. We wanted to go back to our pool club and go out to dinner there, in which is where the kids kind of grew up. And then there's a ice cream shop called Mr. Frosty's, which my sister Mimi worked at as a kid. And they have this really cool outdoor vibe. The only issue we had is it was, if anybody saw on social media, it was an incredible rainstorm. And it took us like, it usually takes an hour and 20 minutes to get to Connecticut, maybe an hour and 10 minutes. It took us at least 3 hours to get there. And so I was trying to figure out a place where we could all go and socialize with all different friends, from my friends from elementary school, high school, college. And we picked a bowling alley, and my buddy Mark Suda set it all up. And we got there, that we had the whole, it's a really cool bowling alley called Pinstripes in Norwalk. And they gave us this whole, they kept the place open. We didn't get there till 10:30, and they opened it. We had it open till 2 a.m. and it was
so much fun.
It was absolutely fun. And there was a really cool energy, and the girls had fun, and Noah and Chase were there, and Erica was there. It was just a blast. We had a really good time.
Yeah. It was nice to see the two, you know, those worlds haven't come together yet. The girls' friends and our friends from back home. So that was not in that kind of way with so many people, but so it was nice, like, for everyone to meet and you know, and then like Noah or Chase would get on a bowling lane with, you know, my cousin and then a friend you went to high school with or something like that.
Right.
Like the mixture of everybody was so fun, and like everybody, hands down, I think Chase said that was like one of his best nights was there. You know, one of the most fun times was there.
Obviously. And my sister, usually when we go, since we've been living in California, when we go home, we always make it a point to see my mom and my sister. And this time we just couldn't because of our schedules. So, and my mom just had knee surgery, so she couldn't come to the bowling alley. But my sister ended up coming with my nephew. So it was just a really cool group of two of my friends from college happened to coincidentally be in Norwalk that night. So it was just an awesome time. And my buddy World from Queens actually drove all the way up from Queens to Norwalk. He's like, I don't care, wherever you guys are in town, I want to come hang out. So,
and my nephew was there, and
Lucas was
his
there.
His girlfriend. So fun.
That was really cool. So our last day in New York, so we got back from Connecticut. We did Yankees. We did the party in the Hamptons. We were staying in New York City, and we went to Connecticut.
Dinner at Carbone.
We had dinner at Carbone's. That was, shout out Carbone. And then we went to the ESPYs.
Yes.
In New York City, on a pier, outdoor, rooftop. So cool. What are your thoughts, Heidi?
First of all, it was so beautiful. And just the backdrop of the stage was just amazing. It was over, you know, on the water, and it was beautiful. And talk about an energy in the air, you know, and you have all these unbelievably talented athletes, whether it were college or professional, and all leagues, and just, I don't know, like, it was, I've never done that before. So, also, people look very different when they're dressed up, and you're used to seeing them like in like jerseys and hats or helmets or whatever. So, you know, I was a little surprised that people knew who we were, because that's always odd to me.
Always.
Obviously, we know who they are, and it was just I think just the whole, I mean, obviously we didn't get to talk to everybody, but it was just such a nice vibe, and everybody was like trying to meet everybody. And we met the nicest people, and even there, the crew and the, I don't know, just like they were so helpful. Like we didn't know what we were doing. Like the girls didn't know where they needed to be. And they were just like, okay, we're going to, yeah, they just like really, and that wasn't just for us. That was for, you could see it for everybody. Some of these athletes have been there many times, I'm sure. So they had a better handle on it, but it was just, everybody was so nice. And I did hear a lot of, like, you got, your kids got us through quarantine with, you know, the social media and all that. So that was like, whoa, like they, it's just, I don't know, it blows my mind to hear that. And it's like really flattering. So that was cool.
And anyone that knows our family, knows me, knows I'm a diehard, graduated from UConn, diehard UConn basketball fan, both men's and women's. And our table area section was right next
pod.
To
pod. It was a pod.
It was called a pod, babe. Mm-hmm. Was right next to Paige Booker's pod, and she was a UConn freshman this year and has done great things, had an incredible acceptance speech. And so I'm looking at her like, you know, loving UConn and being a graduate, and she looks over at me and waves at us. And then I met her mom. And her mother said her younger daughter is a huge Charlie fan. And so we FaceTimed her and Dixie, and a fan of both Charlie and Dixie. And we FaceTimed them. And I think the girls followed her on Instagram. But that was like,
she was so cute.
The mom was like, are you guys going to be up at UConn? I'm like, yeah, we get to a couple of games. And she said, definitely come. And so that was a lot of
they were all so nice. And we're looking at them like, whoa, they're like, I can't believe I get to meet them. You know what I mean? It was really cool. And we're just like super fortunate to be able to do that stuff.
So many cool people. And again, I got it wasn't just me at the MTV Music Awards TV Awards that gets nervous. I'm nervous for my kids. They're walking down this flight of steps. It's starting to rain. Dixie also in the Hamptons walked out of the door and slipped on the steps. And so I have that in my head from that. And then they have to read a teleprompter and they have to know everyone's names. And I'm sitting there going, and they just come out and they did a good job. And I'm like, what am I worried about?
I think
about?
They were a little nervous. They didn't know. I don't think they realized it was live till like maybe an hour before we were going there. And they're like, oh, wait, it's live? And meanwhile, you and I have been talking about this for days to each other and like
making sure they have the pronunciation of everyone's name, because it will get, if they make a mistake, it just like everything now gets replicated a million times and posted on Twitter and posted on everywhere. So the added pressure of dotting your I's and crossing your T's and making sure everything's perfect has to be, and following a teleprompter has to be.
And not slipping on wet stairs. And that floor
was
so slippery because we walked on it like a little bit, like to get to our seats, but whoa. It was like, what's it called? When it's like shiny, like lacquered almost. My heart was racing. But you don't make it better. You're like, I'm so nervous. You're sitting kind of like.
Wait, I say it like that?
Yes, a little bit like behind me, but to the left, because the way that.
I think sometimes I just like, it's just my nervous energy.
Because I'm not like that. I'm not going to. It almost like, I don't know. I'm not going to get nervous or worry about something until there's something to worry about.
Mm.
Because it just causes too much stress.
Yes.
And then what? Nothing happens. We were all nervous and worried for nothing.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that to me?
I got my heart rate up. Well, at least I probably burned some calories. Which is good.
There you go. Right side.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark.
I'm Heidi. Follow me on all my socials at Heidi D'Amelio.
Follow me on all my socials at Mark D'Amelio.
I think you should be a voiceover actor.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yes.
I think I sound too stuffy.
Mm.
Like a little nasally, kind of like Snuffleupagus.
Well, you do have a deviated septum. You should get that fixed.
What do you think about my Snuffleupagus impression?
I think it's really good.
Would anybody in the listeners know who Snuffleupagus is?
Yeah.
Hi, Bird. How are you?
Okay.
I'm Snuffleupagus. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
For tuning in.
Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios, comes to you from Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio.
You can listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.